CMC Markets is one of the world's leading CFD and spread betting providers with more than three decades of experience. Trade with CMC and you're trading with experts. 79% of retail investor accounts lose money.
Hello and welcome to The City View, the podcast from City AM in partnership with CMC Markets. Join me, Christian May, each week as I talk to insiders, industry chiefs and leading figures from business, finance, politics and the media. My guest today is Eric Hirima, owner and CEO of Nye Timber, a pioneer of English sparkling wine and a man who has done as much as any other, perhaps more, to put this high-end product on the wine map of the world. He was once upon a time a practicing lawyer before purchasing the Nye Timber estate in 2006. He began investing in expanding the vineyards that had already been planted and developing the brand's reputation as a leader in the English sparkling wine industry. It's been observed that his long-term vision, his attention to detail and passion for crafting fine English sparkling wines have seen the Nye Timber estate establish a respected and coveted position in the wine world, and his operation now encompasses 327 hectares of vineyards across Sussex, Hampshire and Kent. Production has increased over the years, and in 2019, Nye Timber produced 1 million bottles for the first time. That's from the 2018 harvest, a record for any English sparkling wine producer. And as far as endorsements go, all I can say is that we served this at our own wedding in 2018. Eric, welcome to the City View.
Thank you very much, Christian, for having me at your program. And thank you for having Nye Timber at your wedding.
It was one of the highlights, and a day full of highlights, I should add, in case my wife is listening. No, it was a wonderful drink. And for us, it was the real epitome of a great celebration. Now, tell us how you see yourself fitting into the Nye Timber story, because as an estate, it stretches back to the Domesday Book, I believe. But of course, the first vines were planted in 1988. So how did you come into this?
Well, I've always been a wine enthusiast, at least since age 17 years old, and had a dream of becoming a wine producer. And in the late 90s, I came to England, living in London, and a few years later, I bought a farm in West Sussex. And at that time, I tried some English sparkling wine and was very much impressed about the quality and soon became also convinced about the potential of English sparkling wine because of its uniqueness of where it comes from and it being one of the very few places in the world that can produce the very highest quality sparkling wines because of several unique factors. And when I acquired the farm in West Sussex, I then had the soil tested and planted there in 2005 and decided to grow the land, to look for more land to plant vineyards on, and ideally to acquire an existing wine producer. Nye Timber was then already the number one. It was the pioneer for planting the Champagne variety vines. And I was very fortunate to the next year, 2006, being able to acquire Nye Timber.
Well, by the nature of what you do and what you produce, it is, of course, a long story. But was there a moment for you when you moved from being that enthusiastic fan of English sparkling wine and someone able to see its potential to actually visualizing your own place in a story that would see the industry take off and in recent years really start to rival some of the great champagne houses?
It was a gradual process which started before I acquired Nye Timber, when I had this ambition to develop a commercially viable business. And especially when it became apparent that I could acquire Nye Timber, which was not an easy process. It took a long time. But once I did that, I was quite convinced that I wanted to create Nye Timber from a novelty brand into a global British luxury brand producing the very best sparkling wines.
Well, can you tell us a bit about how the wine world today, particularly the French, because I'm always curious how the French view these things, How has it come to view English sparkling wines? I mean, it was seen for a period, rightly or wrongly, as something of a novelty for some time. But then, of course, as a national product, it started to do very well in competitions and in blind tastings. How is it now seen around the world among buyers, other growers and producers?
In the UK, there is now an ever higher awareness of English sparkling wines in general and of its quality and of Knight Timber in particular. And that is very much in the trade, but also ever more consumers. Internationally, it's in an earlier stage of development. But if you mention the champagne houses, they know what they are doing and they observe what others are doing. And they have been observing English sparkling wine and Knight Timber years ago when Knight Timber would win, some other producers as well, would beat champagnes at blind tastings and competitions. So they became ever more keen as to what it was. And I think many champagne houses already since the early noughties sent delegations to investigate whether it was feasible for them to start. And there are now three major champagne houses active in England producing English sparkling wine.
Well, looking at the business today, Eric, and we can come on to talk about the impact of the last 6 months, which have been difficult for everybody, but I understand you've just completed this year's harvest, the largest area harvested to date. How were conditions this year? How do you feel about your crop and the prospective vintage?
Well, we're really, really excited, Christian. We just completed harvest last week, and we harvested from 650 acres from 11 Knight Timber vineyards spread across West Sussex, Hampshire, and Kent. And we will produce around 1 million bottles, with which we are, as you mentioned, the largest English sparkling wine producer, particularly if you take into account that we only use our own grapes from our own vineyards. That is that says something about the growth that we went through. But the weather was this year really great when it mattered at the right times, like the end of June and early July, when one has the flowering, and particularly later in summer, in September, when the weather was very hot and sunny, and that was so great for the development of our grapes. So we had a very clean crop, beautiful fruit, with a lovely, lovely taste of the juice. So we're really excited.
Well, the pandemic that I mentioned, of course, has hit everybody. How did you feel it in terms of work and the work that presumably had to be carried out at the height of the lockdown? And also, how are you feeling it now with restaurants, hotels and events having taken a real battering? That must have hit you quite hard in terms of demand.
COVID has affected everyone and most businesses. On the vineyard side, we were quite fortunate because during the lockdown, as all the work in vineyards happens outside, there are no lockdown restrictions. And even in early May, we managed to plant on over 100 acres. We planted about 200,000 vines, mainly in Kent, but also a second generation plant at our oldest vineyard at Knight Timber, the Knight Timber site. So it went really well on the vineyard side. On the sales side, indeed, we since early March and the start of the lockdown, sales to restaurants, hotels, caterers, as well as to export, came to a complete standstill until summer. But we were fortunate to compensate at least part of that by strong retail sales. And also our own online sales via our web shop did really, really well. We only introduced e-commerce on our website last year, and we saw very strong growth. Regarding marketing, indeed, Knight Timber is normally very active during the summer season at many events, and none of them happened this year. And that was a break with how we communicate with our consumers. So we instead focus more on social media, and we now try to engage with our consumers in a fun, innovative, and educational way. But what was great was during COVID that the British consumer was willing to spend more money on high quality wines to consume at home, probably instead of dining out. And particularly English sparkling wine, including Night Timber, benefited from that. Whilst, as a contrast, the champagne sales went down a lot. And we think that is because champagne sales traditionally are for festive purposes, like events and weddings, and none of them took place this year. Whereas ever more consumers in the UK love to experience and indulge English sparkling wine. And of course, we are very happy to see people cheer themselves up in these difficult times by drinking English sparkling wine, and particularly, of course, Night Timber.
Well, I'm quite confident that I did my bit, not just with English wine or sparkling wine, but as you put it, buying quality wine throughout lockdown. And I'm sure I'm not alone in that. Just finally, Eric, I must confess, and feel free to correct me on this, but as a business, I would put a vineyard up there with newspapers and airlines as things that it's probably best to simply not start. Is your business profitable? How are you doing? And how do you see the future now? What's in store for your estate and for English producers more broadly?
In general, it's absolutely true what you say, that to start a vineyard is requires enormous investments, efforts, and a long breath. You need a lot of persistence for many years. We at Night Timber always say that we think in generations and not just in years. So it's a very, very slow process on which track we are, but we are not yet profitable at Night Timber. And that is because we invest so strongly in our growth. And we hope to break even in some years' time, but it's not easy to accomplish that.
And what do you think the world has in store for English producers in the years ahead? Is this something which is going to continue to see a rise in its standing and reputation around the world?
Well, there is this current challenge that COVID imposes on most businesses. But in general, we are very confident about the growth potential of the English sparkling wine industry over the coming years. So in the UK, there's already high awareness, and most of the sales happen there. We as Night Timber only export 10%, and that's what we want to grow strongly in the coming years. And that's the same for most other English sparkling wine producers, that we have to focus more on exports.
Well, we'll keep a close eye on it, and good luck with this year's vintage. Eric Harima of Night Timber, thank you for talking to us on The City View.
Thank you so much, Christian.
Thanks for listening to The City View, the podcast from City AM in partnership with CMC Markets. Do join me again next week.
CMC Markets is one of the world's leading CFD and spread betting providers with more than three decades of experience. Trade with CMC and you're trading with experts. 79% of retail investor accounts lose money.